Today we're going to be talking about mindfulness as a human technology. And we're going to be looking at mindfulness as short neurophysiological techniques that you can use to change the way you're feeling, thinking, and processing information in a moment. Now, that's not to say that going off and having a more mindful meditation experience isn't valuable. In fact, it's extremely valuable. And the second half of this program, we'll look at that. But in reality, we need mindfulness during the middle of a busy day. We need mindfulness when things are going wrong around us, not so much when we have the time and the luxury to sit on that meditation cushion, to light incense, to play calming music. We need mindfulness in the moments throughout our day when we need to be strategic and think on our feet. One of the most well-known researchers in the field of mindfulness is Dr. Ellen Langer. Dr. Langer is professor of psychology at Harvard, and in fact, she was one of the first female full-time tenured professors at the psychology school at Harvard University. Dr. Langer defines mindfulness as the opposite of mindlessness. And in fact, think about it. How often are we somewhat mindless as we go throughout our day? I think about times where I've let a door slam and I say out loud, "Oh, I'm sorry," and there's no one around me. You might find it beneficial to think about mindfulness as a technology of the human body. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Because what mindfulness allows us to do is it allows us to look inside and see what our body is telling us. It also lets us tell our bodies and our minds how we'd like to be. We can use mindfulness to help our nervous system regulate itself. Right? Our central nervous system is made up of the sympathetic nervous system, which is sort of the fight or freeze state of our nervous system. It's what keeps us actively engaged in the world, but it also is what kind of makes us anxious. And we also have the parasympathetic nervous system, which is known as the rest, digest, and receive state of our nervous system. And they kind of function on a spectrum. When we're in that parasympathetic state, we tend to be more reflective. We tend to be more present, more aware, more calm, and more relaxed. And when we are in that parasympathetic state, and we can use mindfulness to get there, more of our brain's resources, more of our body's resources are available for higher order thinking. They're more focused because there's less interference going on in the nervous system. There's more power being plugged into the core processor. It's not distracted by so many things running in the memory. So in a moment here, I'm going to teach you some very simple mindfulness techniques that are very much based on the latest research in neurophysiology. But before I do that, I want to tell you about an amazing phenomena of the human brain and body. And really, your entire body is functioning as a brain, and it's much like a computer network in the sense that the brain in your head is definitely a powerful central processor. But you also have a brain in your gut that's made up of at least 100 million neurons. You have a brain in your heart. And you have neurons that travel from your brainstem all the way down to your toes. You have information being processed throughout your body. These packets of information are often referred to as neurotransmitters, as hormones. And all of this functions through a natural process called neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is sort of the phenomena that lets you set the default for your nervous system, for your body. And the way that works is best captured by a classic quote in neuroscientific research by researcher Donald Hebb, referred to as Hebbian Law, and that is that neurons that fire together wire together. And I share this with you because any time you utilize a mindfulness technique, whether it's one of these 10-20 second techniques I share with you in a moment, or a longer mindfulness exercise, you are showing your body and your brain how you'd like to be. So you'll find in a moment here that some of these physiological mindfulness techniques I'm going to show you, they really do have a very immediate effect on how you feel. And they will also have a very immediate effect on your mindset, on your clarity of thinking, on your focus, on the amount of focus that is behind your productivity. And every time you engage in one of them, you're actually training your nervous system and your brains in your body to be that way by default. It's like drawing lines in the sand. Every time you make a pass, they get deeper and stronger. And, you know, like any habit, we need to keep up with them. But every time you come back to it, you are further wiring these neural networks that are going to allow you to be more naturally higher in your productivity, in your output, that do allow you to be more focused and strategic with your thinking, more naturally than maybe even you thought you could, or more often than you thought you could be that way, or just to feel less stressed and more calm. So the first mindfulness technique I'm going to teach you is all about the jaw. Your jaw is connected to the vagus nerve, which is one of the 12 cranial nerves that travel through your central nervous system from the brainstem. And remember earlier I said your central nervous system is made up of the sympathetic nervous system, the fight, flight, or freeze state, and the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest, digest, and receive state. So go ahead and let your jaw drop. Like really let your jaw just hang open. Now, if you're around other people right now as you're listening and you don't want to let your jaw just open like that, you can leave your lips closed and just let your jaw loosen. And in fact, often I just let my jaw stay loose. I notice it consciously, especially when I'm working at my computer. I notice is there tension in my jaw. So just let your jaw loosen. You can kind of do a little face yoga. I'm going to stretch my jaw here, stretching it straight down to the left, to the right. And just let your jaw hang loose. What you're doing here is you are stimulating your parasympathetic nervous system. You are stimulating that rest, digest, and receive state. You're sort of what in sort of neuroscience they would call upregulating that system. You're giving it more power. You're putting it a little higher in the order of priority. And so it's not going to make you completely sleepy per se, but just notice how your body's feeling as you let your jaw hang loose. Notice the sensations in your body as your jaw is loose. This is simply a way to tell your nervous system that you'd like to be a little bit less tense. When your jaw is tense, and this is very much an evolutionary phenomena, when your jaw is tense, your body's somewhat assuming that perhaps there's a threat nearby. Perhaps there's danger. And sort of in the more native animal world, where much of human neurology evolved, there would be situations where there could be a dangerous animal or situation nearby. And so when the jaw is tense, the entire body is somewhat preparing for something to happen. So when you loosen your jaw, you send a very strong signal to your brainstem through that network that is your central nervous system. And the brainstem gets that signal that the jaw's loose, and it starts to send a signal out through the network of your central nervous system that maybe there's not a threat. And you'll start to create a positive feedback loop within your network that's sending out packets of information, sending out hormones and neurotransmitters throughout your whole body to make you feel more relaxed simply by loosening your jaw. I used to actually have TMJ pretty bad. You know, it was even hard for me to open my jaw enough for the dentist. And I've heard this from others that even just practicing consciously every morning, you know, when you wake up, put a little sticky note on your coffee pot. That's how I did this because, you know, there's one thing that's going to happen every day. It's drinking coffee. So I just put a sticky note that said drop jaw. And I don't really have TMJ symptoms anymore. I just remember throughout my day to loosen my jaw. And because of neuroplasticity, my jaw reminds me to loosen my body, to loosen tension, because I'll notice my jaw relaxing naturally because neurons that fire together, wire together, it creates a habit. So this next one's really cool. This is all about the tongue. So go ahead and just let your tongue rest at the bottom of your mouth. A lot of folks tell me right off the bat that this is a very almost challenging, but then very revealing exercise. So just let your tongue rest at the bottom of your mouth. Perhaps the tip of your tongue is touching the back of your bottom front teeth, the back of the tongue, relaxed, perhaps touching the top of the throat. And it does feel strange to folks because we do hold a lot of tension in our tongues. And you might be wondering, how does the position of my tongue have anything to do with my productivity, with my problem-solving skills, with my ability to reflect effectively? Well, when your tongue is relaxed, and really just keep it relaxed as you're listening, and make sure your jaw is loose. Let your jaw loosen and let your tongue rest, almost like it's floating at the bottom of your mouth. It might even feel a little shorter. Just kind of keep reminding it to relax and really doing it. And this is the significance of mindfulness informed by neurophysiology. Because your body can't not respond to you loosening your jaw, to relaxing your tongue. It has to happen. So when you let your tongue relax, you're actually changing the flow of energy in your body and in your brain and in your head brain. Right? Remember, I mentioned there are those sort of three brains in our body, the gut brain, the heart brain, and the head brain. Now, the head has about 100 billion or more neurons, so it is a big one. It is the central processing unit. It has many cores and hemispheres. And when you are relaxing your tongue, what you're doing is you're redirecting blood flow in your brain. And blood flow in the brain really is power. You're directing it away from the verbal processing center of your brain. You see, when the brain sees that your tongue is engaged, when it's doing anything but just resting there at the bottom of your mouth, your brain assumes that there's something that you need to say. It assumes that there's people around you. It assumes that you're in a situation where you're going to have to speak. So oftentimes, the inner narrative in our head, the spinning thoughts, especially when they're distracting, right? When they're getting in the way of the work we need to do, the conversations we need to have, the reflection we need to engage in, we don't need that, right? We're not preparing to say something out loud. So when we relax the tongue, there's no reason for the brain to keep powering that part of its infrastructure. And so then that blood flow, that power becomes available to other parts of the brain, such as the frontal cortex, the higher order thinking centers of the brain, the centers of the brain that you need in your day-to-day life. So just letting your tongue relax and, you know, really think about how mindfulness isn't something that you necessarily have to go off and do. You don't even really have to make time for it. It doesn't take long to do these things. You can set a reminder on your phone. You can put a sticky note on your monitor. You can teach these techniques to other people. These are great techniques to teach to teachers that they can use in the classroom. You can even, you know, sometimes if I have a good relationship with a teacher, especially when I'm in sort of the technology role, maybe helping them with something, if I notice that they're really tense, I might just remind them while I'm helping them to rest their tongue, relax their jaw. But either way, these little habits can be repeated. Takes 10 seconds, right? You can do it while you're walking down the street. You can relax your jaw while you're driving. You can do it while you're looking at your computer. You're beginning to teach your mind and your body that you want more of your power, more of your computer and information processing resources, your computing, I should say, resources, right? In the analog computer that is your body, that is an organic, a bioelectric system. You're telling it that you want to be more productive, that you want to be more relaxed, that you want to be thinking more strategically with those higher order critical faculties. And it's just allowing you to have more agency around how the power is being distributed, how the energy is moving around inside of you. That's actually shifting through the way that these physiological techniques are interacting with your central nervous system, interacting with your nerves, interacting with your brainstem and the other parts of your brain. What I'm going to do now is guide you through a somewhat longer mindfulness exercise. This will be a little bit meditative. I'll encourage you to close your eyes. And the intention behind me teaching this technique to you, this exercise to you, is that what you can do in as little as 1 minute's time is you can run self-diagnostics on yourself. I'm chuckling because it kind of sounds silly. But what you can do is you can use your body's natural interoceptive abilities to look inwards and focus on removing any interference towards communication within the body, towards bringing coherence between the three brains and the body and all the body systems, to have them all communicating on the right subdomains, to have them all processing information the right way, to have them all operating in coordination, to have the default settings where you want them to be. Interoception is the body's natural ability to sense itself from the inside out. A lot of us know about exteroception, right? We talk about that all the time. We teach it in school. It's the five senses, right? We talk about sight. We talk about smell. We talk about taste. We talk about feeling on the skin. We talk about all these different senses. Interoception is made up of sensory cells within the body that are sensing the body itself. And when we really focus our awareness on sort of the sensations in our body, what we're doing is we are telling our body that we want it to kind of look inwards and see what needs to be done so that things are functioning more smoothly. And when we do that while also engaging in some of the physiological techniques I taught you earlier, and I'm going to walk you through this here in a little bit, we actually then engage another body process that is called proprioception. And this is another neurophysiology term that refers to the body simulating feelings, sensations, emotions, experiences. And an example of proprioception would be, think back to a very happy day in your life. Maybe you were in a really nice place. Maybe something special happened. Maybe you had a lot of fun, right? And maybe it's not happening now because you're kind of listening and learning. But, you know, you often have a pleasant memory and your body creates these good feelings, right? These packets of information are triggered around the body in the form of hormones and neurotransmitters that actually create that sensation in your body. So when you are focusing on feeling more relaxed, when you're utilizing these physiological techniques that help direct blood flow in your brain to the higher order critical and creative thinking areas, you are, through neuroplasticity, really wiring in not just that you want your body to do self-diagnostics, but that this is the new code that you want to be the default. And each time you do it, that code gets learned. It gets perfected. It gets figured out. And you'll notice your experience changing as you practice these techniques, either, you know, just remembering to drop your jaw or loosen your tongue for 10 seconds a few times a day, or taking a few minutes to practice something like what I'm going to show you here in a moment. You'll actually notice yourself being able to more naturally and more quickly get yourself where you'd like to be in terms of mindset, in terms of productivity, in terms of the sort of thinking power that you're finding behind your processing and your brainstorming. And every good technologist knows that paying attention to the diagnostics on their systems, to looking at the alerts, the alarms, to looking inwards, looking inside, looking under the hood, is the key to catching problems before they surface. It's the key for keeping things running efficiently and running at maximum capacity. And so think about this little practice here that I'm going to show you as you looking under the hood on your body and letting your body do its self-repair, letting your body know how you'd like to be. So this is what I think of as the exercise to actually creating the optimal performance state, that focused, relaxed, aware, and energized state that when we're in it, things go really well. We get things done. We feel good. This is training, some of these little techniques is training that Olympic athletes receive, high performance people receive, executives receive. NASCAR drivers receive, because these techniques allow you to kind of shut off some of the noise and chaos around you to help keep your internal dialogue and distractions in your mind kind of under control and out of the way, which is what someone in a high performance position or with a high performance task needs. So go ahead and find a good place to sit, a place where you can concentrate and focus and be relatively comfortable. You can go ahead and pause if you need to do that. But just go ahead and take a seat and notice how the chair you're sitting in feels on your body. This is sort of warming up that introspective ability, right? That's sort of starting to let your body know that you want it to turn its attention and its focus inwards because you want it to do some diagnostics. You want it to do some system repair. And you'll hear me breathing here. And you might notice your own breathing. Do you notice the temperature of the air on your skin, the sensation of the clothing on your body? We're just doing things to sort of bring your awareness inwards, right? And you can be doing these things on your own when you're not listening to this recording. How does the air feel on your skin? How do your clothes feel? How does your seat feel? What sounds are you noticing around you? How is your breathing? Just noticing the sensations in your body. Go ahead. Let your eyes fall closed. Let your jaw drop like we practiced earlier. Let it loosen and let your tongue rest at the bottom of your mouth. Just checking in with your jaw, is it loose? Your tongue resting at the bottom of your mouth. Any thoughts that you're having, just sort of letting them move by as you notice your breathing. And we're going to be in this sort of quieter, inward focused state with the eyes closed for a few minutes here. And if this is something that's new to you, that you've not tried before, it's okay to fidget. It's okay to move around. If your eyes end up opening, you can just let them fall closed again and just keep going. There's no right or wrong way to do this. And so just noticing your jaw, has it tensed up at all? Giving it a little loosening motion there. Letting your tongue rest at the bottom of your mouth, the tip of the tongue touching the back of the bottom front teeth. Back of the tongue. Just down there, maybe touching the very tip top of the throat there. Just noticing your breathing, noticing the sensations in your chest, not really trying to change your breathing, as much as you're just noticing, you know, is there any tension anywhere? Where are you feeling more loose? Where are you feeling more tight? Noticing, are your breaths shallow? Are they deep? And again, we're not really trying to change things just yet. We're just sort of letting the diagnostics happen. Because as you are becoming aware of the sensations in your body, as trivial as it might seem, what you're doing is you're making your total mind and body, your conscious and unconscious mind, all of the functioning of your body, you're sort of letting it know some of the things you want it to focus on. And it's just naturally, it's going to instinctively start to become aware of, oh my goodness. Wow, this information didn't get up to the master computer. There's some oxygen flow needed in this part of the body. There's some tension here. We need to change breathing. The body's going to start to notice these things. And you may naturally know that your breathing is beginning to deepen a little bit, slow down a little bit. Just letting any thoughts move by, any distractions, just bringing you right back to your breathing. And checking in with your jaw, is it loose? Your tongue, is it resting at the bottom of your mouth? Just seeing if you can allow your exhale to naturally slow down. Just noticing how many counts your exhale is, and maybe increasing it by a count, two counts. Seeing if you can let that exhale lengthen to four counts or five counts. And what you're doing here is you're further letting your parasympathetic nervous system know that you'd like it to sort of increase in its power. Right, your sympathetic and your parasympathetic nervous systems that make up your central nervous systems are somewhat on a spectrum. And you just want to kind of find that balance where you're actively engaged throughout the day, but you're also in that rested state as well. You're in that state of regeneration, of rejuvenation, where all systems are set correctly, where they're all communicating and functioning properly. Not too many programs loaded into memory, not running out of space, not low on battery. And so you're just letting the vagus nerve know as you slow down your breathing. So the vagus nerve is also connected to the lungs, as it is the jaw. How you'd want to feel, right? If you've done yoga or meditation or any type of aerobic exercise, you know how important breath is. This is no different. And as your breathing is beginning to slow down, just notice what you notice in your body. Notice the sensations in your chest. Noticing the sensations in your arms, your legs, your fingers, your toes. Just moving your awareness sort of around the different parts of your body. If your school has a mindfulness program, they might call this a body scan. Checking in with your jaw, is it loose? Your tongue resting at the bottom of your mouth. Just noticing what you notice in your body. You might even imagine, say, your right leg as though it's a hollow tube. Just having a sense of that or seeing that visually in your mind. Just imagining your awareness filling up that hollow space. Imagining your breath filling up your body. Just noticing your breathing, noticing the sensations in your arms, your legs, your fingers, your toes, your gut, your heart. And you can sort of experiment with this practice on your own. You can come back and listen to this recording, or you can just remember, you know, maybe you'll notice you have a minute or two and you can find a quiet place, maybe sitting outside, maybe sitting in your office, sitting in your car, wherever you are, somewhere in your home. And you can just simply let your eyes fall closed. You can notice how your body's feeling in the chair you're sitting on, the temperature of the air around you. Can let your jaw loosen, can let your tongue rest at the bottom of your mouth, and just notice your breathing, letting it slow down. And just letting your thoughts happen, you know, not worrying about them. This is, like I said, this is a more mindfulness meditation that we're practicing here, and any experienced meditator will tell you that it's not about there not being thoughts, because that's really not realistic. It's just about letting them sort of float away. And if you can just do this for 30 seconds, for a minute, or you can just do one of these little techniques throughout your day, letting your jaw loosen, letting your tongue rest at the bottom of your mouth while you're stuck in traffic, while you're in a meeting, while you're reading a book, while you're working on your computer. When you notice yourself wanting to really reflect and brainstorm, but you know, feeling like you're bogged down by what's getting you stuck in the weeds. just engaging in one of these neurophysiological techniques will help you kind of get more strategic, help you kind of find that 10,000 foot view that you need and shift between strategic, operational, tactical, practical, big picture, visioning, reflecting. You're actually developing what's called neuroflexibility as you engage in these mindfulness technologies. So just taking another moment, just noticing what you notice in your body, maybe just looking forward into the future. One of my favorite topics, there's so many Forbes magazine articles about this, is called mental rehearsal. So just using your imagination visually, or just having the sense of maybe yourself later in the day, right? Maybe thinking about your day, maybe thinking about things that maybe something later that is stressful, or maybe knowing just how your day is going to go, and maybe see yourself utilizing one of these techniques as you see that happening. See yourself loosening your jaw, relaxing your tongue. See yourself doing this in the office, you know, next week. See yourself using this in your life, or maybe showing it to someone who you think might benefit from one of these simple techniques. And this is also a neuroplastic process, because you're actually teaching your mind what you'd like to see yourself doing. And what's really cool, what really actually happens, and as you're doing this, you know, loosen your jaw, relax your tongue, stay in this state, hold on to it. What you're actually doing is you're sort of earmarking your nervous system for how it's going to function in the future. You're sort of saying, hey, this is what I want you to be doing. When you imagine yourself utilizing, say, these techniques, or just having something happen a different way. Noticing the sensations in your body, feeling solid in your body and your core, feeling your arms and your legs, maybe wiggling your fingers and your toes, feeling the chair on your body, the air on your skin. And whenever you're ready, letting your eyes flutter open, looking around the room you're in, maybe putting your hands on the chair, on the table, feeling the floor under your feet. And just thinking about the possibilities. Maybe this was a new experience for you. Maybe this was familiar to other experiences you've had, but you've learned some new things. What might it give you to incorporate some of these new things that you've learned into how you go about your job, how you interact with others, how you care for yourself, and how you keep yourself in the optimal high-performance state that you might like to be in to be productive, to solve problems, and to just overall feel more relaxed and calm throughout your day? Thank you for joining me today as we examine the significant similarities between the technology of mindfulness as it relates to the organic systems of the human body, and how that mirrors in many ways the digital technology we use every day in our day-to-day lives. You have a powerful central nervous system that you have a lot more control and agency over than perhaps you may have realized. So go ahead and take action on what you learned today. Set that reminder in your phone to loosen your jaw and relax your tongue. Teach one of these techniques to a friend, to a colleague, to a family member. Deepen your own understanding through showing others.